Hey,
Hello.
how's your week been?
It's been. What
It's
about
been
you?
all right. It's been all right.
It's been a very busy day or week for me. Slightly chaotic. Yeah.
Well, maybe we should start with some caffeine and get started.
Yeah. You can pour the tea and I'll tell you about everything. So this week, I actually missed all of my markets. My mid-market, I could have gone to, but I couldn't because I got two giant wholesale orders and I was swamped. And I actually ran out of tea.
Oh, huzzah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, and then I was pretty much close to being ready for the Saturday markets, and then it rained.
Good old rain.
So I didn't go to the morning one, and then the evening one did cancel, but it did rain harder. So,
Have your caffeine. Go, go,
yay.
go.
What about you?
I took a sip. It's nice.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
This one's Adderstone. It's one of my favorites.
It's been a while since I've had this. What are the flavors again?
So it's caramel apple is the base, but it has carrots and barley, which makes it really rustic. But it also has hits of turmeric in it. So it's really good for your lungs, but it also holds, it's like a good hearty brew at the same time, so you're not just chugging a bunch of herbals.
Really?
Yeah, so you get the herbal benefit, but it's also a hearty black tea, and it gives you the caffeine and the kick and the
Sweet.
satiability that you get from the barley.
Oh, the caffeine's definitely kicking in.
Ah.
Yay. All right. So, this is our first episode of Authoress Cafe.
Yeah, so welcome everybody.
Welcome. If this were the ideal cafe for you today, what restaurant or place would this be
Location would I
in?
be?
Yep, which place would you be in?
I would have to say on this particular day and this particular weather, I would probably specifically want to be at the Zelli's in La Cañada. And I would like to go to our little private room that you could always pull the curtain back. Sad that they're gone. But they would always have the best cakes. And you could pay for refills on pots of tea. And that is so hard to come by these days.
Oh, like the one in the Zelly's in La Cañada, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that was
Iron,
wonderful.
hot iron teapots. You get to pick your loose leaf and you get to pay for refills. I would always pay for one refill ahead of time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. We'd write a lot of scripts there.
Yeah, actually, my first NaNoWriMo was there. I started. I never completed it, but
No.
you know.
But they were like one of the few places that were like legit when it came down to like fresh leaf, fresh coffee.
Yeah, it was very specific. I still, till this day, have one of their bags that I keep as a token of cafes pass.
Cafes pass. Speaking of cafes pass, I would love it if I could go back to E and E Cafe.
Oh, that used to be next to your old apartment.
Yeah, back at CSUN. Down at Northridge on Reseda Boulevard on the second floor would be a Japanese cafe. And it was like basically everybody's introduction to Unmitsu. It was like this tiny little dessert. And you know, I forgot what it was made of, but...
I can answer that. So, to me, Unmitsu feels like the charcuterie bowl of desserts from Japan.
Yeah.
It's the best way to explain it, right? Because it's an ice cream, sometimes ice cream, sometimes not, but it's a little bowl and you have a bunch of little desserts together.
Yes.
Specifically, like, some mochi... and some red bean, and depending on your flavors, they would put, like, a syrup in it.
Oh, yes.
Or so even shaved ice. It was almost like Filipino halo-halo, but on a smaller scale and more hearty.
I know.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of crazy because, you know, like, college life, you were trying to beat deadlines. You were trying to... just mash everything that you learn just for an upcoming exam, and then you party, and it felt almost like there was nowhere to, like, relax. Like, even after the party, you're at campus, and then you still have to be the hype when you saw friends and classmates, because you had this persona.
Yeah, see, I always associated that cafe with... you always had a place to go that was relaxing nearby.
Yes.
Like, if ever you had a project, I remember one of the most awkward dinner dates I had was I had to go with your ex-roommate's girlfriend to Bond.
Oh, God, no.
But we went to E&E, and, I mean, we ran out of things to say. We would repeat things, and then I just got to the point where we just talked about the food.
Yeah, but at least the food was interesting. I know it was like curry, but
it was still cozy. Delish.
Huh?
It was cozy.
It was. You know, and in a world filled with, like, crazy Britney Spears fans and upcoming raves and intense, like, you know, tests for careers that we didn't even know we were gonna actually, like, get into. Like, that place was amazing.
I think the best book that embodies that place is Until the Coffee Gets Cold.
Oh, yeah.
That cafe is literally the same vibe as E&E Cafe.
It totally was.
It really was.
Totally was.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, cheers to you, E&E.
Cheers to you, Zellies.
We miss you.
We miss you both. So, how do you feel now that the week's done?
I'm actually really hyped to start this week. I am designing some merch for our upcoming Lit Fest.
Yeah.
And I haven't designed for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of sad because that's what I went to college for mainly. Aside from all the branding side.
Yeah.
I definitely did a lot of heavy graphic design. I mean, it was art school. And sometimes, you know, we're in a world where new and fast fashion is so like, it's so common and it goes so fast.
Right.
I mean, that's a whole thing we can get into, but it just makes me feel so old.
Okay.
And sometimes I just think that what I have to offer in terms of art is just not, like, who cares?
Right.
But let me tell you, like, working on that graphic design and fighting myself, like, going through things. I mean, I don't know if anyone does this, but when you're creating art, you go through things.
Yeah.
Or when you create, period, right?
Right, right. You self-doubt.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was going through some things. I was battling some stuff. But when it came out and when I fine-tuned it, oh, it was so rewarding.
Aww.
It was so rewarding. And Every time I wake up and I have to check my emails and stuff, and I always open up my designs now, and it just elates me. And I felt so complete. Yeah. Like, I just felt like myself after making art and after graphic design.
That's so lovely.
Yeah, so I really want to... I would love to incorporate more of that in my daily.
Okay.
Or in my week, at least. So that was one great thing that came out from canceled markets. Because I had time, after all the chaos of wholesale orders and such, I was able to focus on that.
I know it was hard for you to come to grips and try to be different, because the motif and the style with, I guess, bibliophiles and, like, I guess, cozy culture.
Yeah.
Has basically, like, been dragged and used and abused.
Right. So one thing I did do this time around, which I haven't done forever, is I utilized a Pinterest board. Which is so funny because, like, a couple of months ago, I've recently been Pinterest certified.
Okay.
Like, congratulations. Thank you. I'm certified in their advertising program. And I know the power of Pinterest. In fact, just a tip for all you creatives out there that listen to this podcast and social media needs. Pinterest is growing. Their tactics are very organic. I would compare them similarly to when Etsy was in its prime. So if you're looking for a fresh new way to grab a more niche audience, but also a wider range, Pinterest is where it's at.
Yes.
But yeah, I went down this rabbit hole of book art, like covers.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody noticed. I guess you have to be regularly at bookstores, but there's like a trend in terms of art when it comes down to book covers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I was looking for something like, how could I create a design? I'll just say it. I'm creating like tumblers for T-Spectral.
Right.
And our booth. So if anyone wants more than the little cups of samples we do, they can get larger.
Yes.
By buying a giant cup from us. But you know me, I don't want any cup. I'm not going to just outsource a cup.
Right.
So I'm like, well, I guess I'm designing this thing. And since we're debuting this thing at LitFest, I figured it better be book themed.
Right.
So I wanted it to look like a good book cover, like something if a book lover were to carry with them to a bookstore or thrifting or that kind of cozy outing sort of thing.
Yeah.
They could bring a little bit of their cozy with them.
Right.
So that's what I designed it for, but it was nice. The whole process was really nice. I just went on Pinterest, I went through the rabbit hole, and then I created it to look like a book cover. I made 3 color varieties.
Right.
Right? So I based one, which my personal favorite, on Coquette style. It's very baby blues and pinks and blushes. I love it. And then the other one is more... I actually was watching Bridgerton when we were designing it. So it's got that, like, lavender sage bit, but it's also more of, like, the cottagecore people.
Nice.
And then I have the people that are more into, like, the hige, cozy, boho layer style. So that one's more like earth tone terracottas and greens. I also think that leans more into the academia style because it's earth tones.
Yeah.
Vintage. But we changed all the designs and I was really happy with it. I mean, we went to Barnes & Noble's. And I wanted to do a little bit of recon, I guess, and look at the other merch that was available. And I felt like it could have easily fit in, but it was also very different.
Yeah. Yeah. Which Barnes & Noble's is I feel is not even a bookstore anymore.
No. Why are there so many Legos?
Yeah, like, I swear that I've seen more merch. I mean, the toy section's actually growing. It feels like FAO Schwartz all over again.
Yeah. You know? Oh, I don't think the podcasters know this, or listeners. My first job ever was working at FAO Schwartz.
And for those that don't know what FAO Schwartz is...
watch Home Alone. Was it 2?
It was 2. Home Alone 2.
That big toy store?
Yep.
Yeah, so I worked at a branch of that.
Yeah, back in Glendale.
Yeah.
Good times.
That's actually one of the reasons Eugene and I met. Like, you wanted to go see the toy shop,
right? Dude, you were making Gundams.
Yeah, so when Bandai brought Gundams to the US, actually one of my jobs, which was like a dream job at the time, was to sit and make models with people.
Yeah. And now you see kids at cafes doing that.
Yeah.
Like, what? And the funny thing is, a lot of these kids, they don't even know some of the models that they're actually creating.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it threw me off. I was like, man, that's a good old classic GM. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh my god, what are you doing? And like, I don't know, I hate to say it, but I actually did look at what they were doing. They're mashing the pieces together.
I used to do that too. After a while, you want to.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess they were just artists trying to actually create their own thing.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell whether I should be like, I'm proud of you for being so creative, or be like, you know, a stickler and be like, oh my god, do you know how rare that thing is?
No, it's fine.
Why? Anyways.
I would love to build, I have some models like on in case of a rainy day and it's raining.
Yeah.
But I do have them saved in the shed.
Oh.
So, it's just, you know, when you get to be an adult, it's so hard to find time for things.
Yeah, yeah.
Does anyone else go through that?
Seriously, like, this is how you know the difference between, like, you know, that bracket of 20s, 30s, etc. It's literally the time you don't have. Like, yeah. It's either you have a lot of time and you're poor, or a lot of money, and you have...
Yeah, like, I, at the beginning of this year, I bought myself a MetaQuest, finally.
Yay.
And I love it. I wish, like, you know, when you're a teen, you think, oh, I love it, I'm gonna play hours on it. I'd be lucky if I can play it twice a week.
Yeah.
I'd be lucky, absolutely lucky, and I even have a timer on, because I have to.
I'm starting to have that problem even with app games.
Oh, like, I gave up on app games a while back.
How do millennials do it? How do people our age do it?
I don't understand it.
Yeah,
I really don't have time, and I wish I could say I'm just bragging, but even just basic things like groceries and like maintenance of things, I guess.
Yeah.
It takes up all your time.
I remember back at college when you could keep a girlfriend by, like, you know, leveling up her character.
I remember those days. We had friends that would do that.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know how people do it now. I don't know if people still do that, but, you know, obviously you pay a lot just to actually keep up with some of these games. At which I realize, you know, if we were gamers and we did spend our money on games, we wouldn't be able to experience half the things that we do. Which, ironically, I have really awkward encounters with some people our age that sound like they've never lived in LA. Like, I go right ahead and tell, a coworker that, hey, you know, Joe's is still alive. You can go right ahead and get a good cocktail and catch the next swing dance event. And they're like, wait, people swing dance? And I'm like, Do you live under a rock? Like, the Catholic Church down the street has a swing dance
To be event. Fair, when the swing resurgence happened and I was a part of it, it was in weird places.
Yeah, but I thought those weird places were, like, filled with people our age.
No. They're young.
Yeah, they are.
Which is cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I remember even high school. Like, it's why, like, it was strange for Ryan to look at me funny, but it made me realize, oh my god, it's a San Fernando Valley thing. You know, like, bunch of old vintage cars, you go swing dancing, you have parties even with your youth group.
Oh, I feel, I don't know. It's been nostalgic lately. We have this one market we go to every Saturday night. And they do the car show thing still. Yes. It's very much that vibe.
Like, at first we thought, oh, these people don't drink tea. You know, they don't care. All of a sudden, like, these muscle guys come up and be like, my grandma likes this.
Makes me tea. It is the cutest thing. They are... It is the cutest thing.
I just love the people next to us. They're like, oh my god, he was hot. Like, he talked to you? What did he say?
He said that he drinks Earl Grey with his grandma. That's what he says.
Yeah, that's right, bro. What's up?
Yeah, it's been really cool to just bring tea to the community.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really has. It's been nice, and people are like, you know what? This is exactly what I needed. I needed something else than coffee.
Yeah.
Like, I'll have my coffee in the morning and this in the evening, and it works great. And I love hearing things like that. I never want people to give up coffee.
Yeah. I know.
But, yeah, it's been really fun at the markets. It's lovely to talk to people. I think I love just the constant inspiration.
Yes.
I posted it recently on Instagram, but on the T-Spectral account, but there are other companies, like small businesses, that have been using T-Spectral stuff.
Oh.
Like, aside from our partnership with Fimbus and Jen, there's a jam lady, I forgot her name, I think it was Sarah, but she runs Happy Jellies, and she brewed forests in her jam, her Ooh. Blackberry jam.
Yes.
So I'm excited to try that, and then we have our cannoli guys
from Bug and Bear.
Yep. And they recently did a lavender one, and I had fun, like, talking to them and expressing to them, like, how you could build a lavender cannoli, basically.
Mm.
And they ended up, I mean, they already got it going. They bought an emulsifier and they made lavender white chocolate. But they sprinkled some of the culinary lavender that we use on it. And I supplied them that. So it's just cool to hear everyone's processes and be around creatives. And it's great.
Yeah.
So... It's been going.
It's been going.
How about you? I mean, anything creative recently, or what have you been up to?
I don't know. There, if anything, I'm not saying words. First off, no. If anything, I have been doing a lot of soul searching.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I work in law. I'm just a videographer, but I get to talk to a lot of people in different, you know, walks of life. And there was a conversation during a recess. And it was kind of nice. Everybody got to reflect over why they have their jobs. You know, they're not complaining about their income, even though everything's way expensive here in LA now. You know, people live in Lancaster that are making, like, you know, what was this, 200K?
And it's still not enough.
It's not enough.
I know. It's getting out of hand. I mean...
But the thing that's been an interesting perspective is if you're single, it's enough.
Hmm.
You know, you don't really need that much. But then when you're a couple, then yes, it is
demanding. I think it's because of how many people have so many roommates now.
Right. But, you know, your priorities and your necessities are, you know, they cost way more the more that you need, like, privacy. Like, privacy is a huge deal.
It is, actually.
You know, you can't be around your parents. You have to be part of your society. You have, like, this weird energy in your house. Especially if you have kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it gave me an interesting perspective. A lot of soul-searching, to be honest. Because, I don't know. Like, I kind of want to progress. I want to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's in my job. Maybe it's not. But nevertheless, it got me to kind of think twice over where else everybody is. And I don't like to compare myself to people because it doesn't give you satisfaction in what you have. But it does allow you to say what you might want. And you don't realize what you might want until you're envious of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they're happy. I want that happiness. What are they doing? And a lot of people have this weird perception, I guess, ever since, like, I got out of the whole Christian mentality. Like, everyone, like, has this idea of what sin is. Mm. And you don't realize half the time we kind of need these things. You know, like, being envious, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. And you gotta start having, like, this weird perception that, yes, it is a negative emotion, but it has a good... It actually can root yourself to somewhere where you could actually realize a piece of yourself might need something.
So, one thing my therapist had brought up, it just reminds me of it, and it's true, is... If you're starting to feel jealous or envious of things, ask yourself why.
Yeah.
Because part of growth is seeing things around you. Yeah. And asking why you're currently unsatisfied with whatever.
Yes.
It is. And I thought that was really a great way of gauging things.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, jealousy is not... It's interesting. It's not something we learn from our parents, you know? It's just something you sort of learn as a human.
Yes.
It just happens. So, instead of negatively enforcing, you're never supposed to feel these feelings. Because you're going to feel these feelings at one point.
Yeah.
Ask yourself why. Yeah. And turn it into a growth experience.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Like, you can't make an egg without cracking any shells here.
Yeah.
You know? And I've just been feeling like I've been walking, you know, confused and almost towards nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just because everything is routine now.
It's been getting pretty comfortable. Well, for you. I know for me, I've been running a million miles per hour, but last year you were the one that ran a million miles per hour between the two of us, so...
Satisfaction is boring.
dang it.
But, it's been interesting because... I've been trying to mimic other people's interests. Maybe I might be interested in that. Maybe I might actually be, you know, a good fit here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody kept talking about that book, Crowns of Thorns and Roses.
Court of Thorns and Roses.
Sorry, Court. And I picked it up. You know,
did you start reading it?
I'm starting.
Oh, God. I'm on the second book, and I will say the first book feels like a bad fever dream.
Well, it sounds like a bunch of dumb girls try to tell you that, you know, their sisters are dumb because they're dumb. And it's like...
You're in the really beginning.
Oh, yeah. No. I just started. I just started.
Okay.
I've only the ferry just crashed into the house. That's where I left.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's...
Okay,
yeah.
You're...
I am not even in
the... You're adventure. Not even in the world yet.
No. No. So, I'm just... I love the fact that there are YouTube summaries online, which is hilarious, and I look forward to it. And, you know, there's that, is he Irish? Like, the long-haired dude?
Everyone thinks they're... Oh, are you talking about the YouTuber that does all the impersonation? Stuart.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot his handle, but it's Stuart. Okay. I know exactly who you're talking yes! about. He is like, that guy's hilarious, he's man. He's so lovely. I light up when I see his content. He's adorable.
Yeah. So, I'm trying, like, anything. Like, maybe there's a spark somewhere. I mean, I'm watching anime, and, like, the only thing that's been, like, enjoyable lately is My Hero Academia. And even that, I feel like I'm mistranslating it.
I thought you were going to mention Spy versus Family.
Oh my god!
Because that's so been fun! So wholesome.
Yes! Yes. Oh no, but yeah, no, I was just, My Hero just feels like everybody's trying to become a fireman. And we just so happen to make everyone a superhero because, you know, like, we're in the world of looking hot and amazing online and trying to be, like, cool all the time, which, it's literally the realm of 20-year-olds, okay? Like, it's great to be there when you're at that age. It's fun to be confused, you're forgiven because you're cute, but...
I never would have thought of that.
No, yeah, yeah. You know, like, remember when our troubles were dumb? Like, oh my god, they broke up, blah, blah, blah. I didn't see that coming.
Okay, realistically.
Right.
What do you remember was the dumbest thing you threw a fit over?
In my early 20s?
Because I already know. Like, when you were bringing that up, I already know what I'm going to say. But anyways, continue.
Yeah, okay. My dumb problems, I remember, you called rich kid syndrome, like, my tantrums. Like, we started Azure Lorica, we kept doing press, and we kept getting free admission into, like, these big conventions.
Right.
And out of nowhere, Anime LA tells us, we're sorry, we're a non-profit, this is a... You know, this is a fundraiser. We can't give you a big discount on tickets. And I threw my hands up, wailed all day, and just said, how dare they? Do you know what we offer? Do you know how many conventions have, you know, we've covered? And do you know the quality of work we give? Which is really piss poor job, to be honest. It was like half.
I don't know. I gave my all with the calls, so I guess...
But I think my grammar was horrible.
Get to my level.
Exactly. I'm sorry, Miss Novelist, but I was in press, and I could not fix my past tense and present tense fast enough.
Wow.
Because we were too busy, like, posting on Twitter, getting into arguments, and attempting to sound smart and reasonable, which we were not, and
we were
embarrassing
in the influencer world before you could get money off of it, and you would make your money off of press.
Yeah,
I guess it's the best way to describe it.
Yes, yes.
So yes. I remember being sad and upset and misunderstood because I had a Facebook post. Because that was the drama, right? Mm. I had wrote, I'm having a breakdown, and everybody made fun of me because my BlackBerry auto-corrected it.
Yeah.
And it said I was having a bread down. And I couldn't, everybody made fun of me for that, and I could not live that down. And I had such an emo moment that whole week.
Oh.
I still think about that, though. I'm like, I would have laughed at myself. But I had a bread down.
Yeah.
Even till now, I just think it's funny. I'm like, I guess I'm having a bread down. Mm. Can I have more tea?
Oh, yes, of course. I wish, back in the day, I actually did take the invitation. Oh, Despero. Our little puppy has
a cough, cold,
so we're holding him close. I wish I took the offer of trying to turn our press into a professional company and actually became Emmy qualified.
Yeah.
You know, because like that ticket was like literally for just a small circle. And to work for free and be abused would have been perfect during our 20s. We could take it. We did take it. Okay?
Do you feel such a short patience for things now?
Yes, I do. Like, now I feel entitled. And I feel, okay, and as rightfully so as we do, you know, to feel this entitled with our experience and knowledge, I also feel like it's a disservice to opportunity. Because we can't say yes to a lot of things. We know our temper. We know our limits. And we know what we're worth. And to be honest, when we didn't know what we were worth, oh my God, I felt like we took on the world. You know? It was painful. I get it. I remember. But man, like the stories you could actually tell to these people, like, oh yeah, I took this on, like, you know, 50-pound furniture, and we went down the slope and like rid it like a freaking surfboard because we were that dumb in moving out. Remember that? Like,
I do remember you that. What was it? You moved, it was a refrigerator.
We moved a refrigerator from the second floor all the way to the first floor without an elevator with just railings from his bed. Like my roommate's bed and pillows. Alright? And we just let it fall. Like, and the reason why we did it is because he was like, you know what? Maybe I should just buy a new refrigerator. And I hit him and said, are you crazy? Do you know how much a fridge cost? And he's like, yeah, I bought this one too. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to tell you, me being Asian, I don't think that is responsible. And I would be irresponsible to have a friend who isn't Asian and doesn't understand this to have failed to keep something longer because it can last.
I mean, to be fair, he was at that apartment for, what, a year?
Yeah, yeah.
Or so?
And he's gonna just buy a new fridge? I'm like, I don't care if you were rich. I don't care if you were middle class.
Well, okay, so I know in the East Coast, the policy is you have to have, like, the landlord has to provide a fridge for you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We don't have that here on the West Coast.
Oh, okay.
So
when that happened, he just didn't understand it.
That's my guess.
Okay, okay.
But either way, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, yeah. And I do apologize to have actually mentioned race in dealing with ethics and morals. It was just my mentality back then, because no one would actually understand what I was saying unless I said that. Like, people would excuse me for being weird.
I think you're fine.
Well, I think I'm weird.
Okay, well, you're fine and weird.
Alright.
There you go.
How you doing?
So, any other books you've been reading lately? Because I actually have a huge list, and it's been, like, the highlight of my night. Pretty much.
I have been rereading old mangas because, like, the scanlations nowadays is intense. Like, you could find mangas that you never thought could ever be translated, even back when you were, like, in high school. Like, oh my God, Legend Leader or like the glass of God, like the wine.
Those sound so epic.
Oh, they were. Oh, but they're animating it now.
Oh, that's cool.
The one that you actually thought was translated as Blood of God, the sommelier.
Oh, the wine manga. Sommelier.
Yeah, like that's actually getting an animation. Or it has. I haven't seen it, but I saw images. Anyways.
So I'm almost done with it, but this book I've been reading, I love it. I thought I would hate it, but I love it. It's called The Influential Mind. Oof. And, it's written by, I know it's a type of anthropologist, but they do specific research to see how behaviors affect people. It's by a person named Tali Sherritt.
Okay.
So she's a scientist that has actually done research on how influential positive thinking can actually be on the mind.
Yeah.
And does it actually scientifically work?
Mm.
And it does. And it's interesting how an entire person's life can actually change, and how much courage, let alone, I guess, willingness you can get based on the change of your mindset.
Okay. Okay.
And there are actual case studies that she puts in and how surprised she was by the results. So it goes chapter by chapter over, well, can it affect these things? Like, can it lessen pain? Can it make a person smarter? Does it make a person feel better to have that sense of integrity? It's really fascinating. It's a really great read. I wouldn't say it's... I think it's a fairly short read compared to what's out there.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy it. Okay. It's really good. I highly recommend it. I've been reading that... And the second book to the one you're reading, Court of Wings, Flames, I forgot. The second one in the ACOTAR series. I guess by popular opinion, I have to go against it. I actually hate the sex scenes.
Yeah.
I do not like the sex scenes in the ACOTAR series. I do not. I love the plot. I love the characters. I know that's, like, opposite to what you hear, but...
Exactly.
Genuinely, I think it could really go without the sex. Isn't that funny?
You know, when it comes down to fantasy as opposed to, you know, like, children's fantasy...
Mm-hmm.
Sex is unavoidable. It will actually happen.
Yeah.
You know, Game of Thrones, you have almost any vampire story. Like, really, it's going to happen, you know? Doesn't matter if it's an orc, elf, or, you know, chimera sometimes.
Yeah.
I know there's dragon stuff out there, but yeah. I'm not going to get into that.
So I think reading has just been a big part of what I've been into lately as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Me, it's been a lot of nostalgia research. I didn't realize other people were doing it too.
Yeah, didn't I tell you, like, what are they? They call them retro something preservationist or something like that. Media preservationist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, living this long, you are able to enjoy how far the licensed products have gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just did one for Yu Yu Hakusho. I wrote, an article about it saying, like, you know, when it was a manga, it felt like they were just picking things out of their hat. Okay. And then when it became an anime, you enjoyed it because there was, like, this 90s, like, attitude. Like, always yelling at each other. Everyone's always, like, scolding each other for nothing. But that was how we were talking.
So you need to backtrack because I think that's a great thing to bring up is you're writing again.
Yes, that was really hard. Really hard.
Yeah.
Because being, I guess, a workaholic for a whole year or so, being creative was hard. Mm-hmm. It was difficult to touch on it because, I guess, I don't know if you see it with your friends, your age, but they're not being creative right now. Like, it doesn't matter if they're, like, you know, going downhill or uphill, whatever they're doing, it's not as creative as it used to be. We had a lot of, like, culminating ideas back at college, but then when we got into the real world, it became a little more technical. I mean, I'm seeing people that, you know, are still producing conventions from, like, back in our heyday, and the best thing that they're doing is camping.
It's funny you bring that up because it's the opposite for me. Because my day job is working in the creative industry for both my jobs.
Yeah.
So I work at a talent agency. I'm actually the social media department. Very grateful for my job. Love it. But my other job is Two Spectral.
Right.
So obviously on that aspect, I'm always around creatives.
Okay.
All different walks of life sort of creatives. And it's hard to stay inspired in the sense that it's not your job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And making it feel like those creative... Because what is creativity if it's not play?
Yes.
So to play and give yourself permission to play in order to make new things is hard when you're a creative full-time. Because it's work. It's another day at the office, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I've been struggling with. So it's interesting from my side.
Okay.
Whereas you're saying you can't find people that are creative.
No.
Huh.
No. Like, being in the field of law, you thrive better when you're more technically minded.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is business-minded, even, you know? People do actually count how much a certain person makes, and it irritates the crap out of me.
Because, I'm so sick of hearing that.
Oh my gosh, like,
Is it even real at this point? I mean, we literally live in the land of make-believe here.
I know, but, like, I feel like I have to wear armor. Like, I don't like Louis Vuitton, I don't like Guess, I don't like any of those. So all of a sudden, I found a leather bag, and it's the Jeep logo, and I've yet to use it. I've yet to use it, but people pay attention, okay? I'm just happy it was a leather bag. I'm happy it was Jeep. I'm happy it's not, you know, the usual, and... Like it's hard. It's hard for me to actually connect with that.
And then I'm the person I can't relate. I'm audacious enough to wear Crocs on a red carpet event. I don't care.
I know.
I really don't care.
It's just I've yet to cross into wearing name brand high end sneakers because that's the California style. You don't wear Oxfords and, you know, these lavish Texas boots. What we wear are brand name.
We're sneakerheads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally acceptable. So as long as it's lavish.
That's so funny. So lately I've been focusing my wardrobe more towards independent brands. And I just bought a pair of shoes. Since we're on the subject, and you can look it up. It's actually a former rave brand. I bought myself a pair of Anthony Wangs.
Huh.
And they're crazy. Like, to me, it's kind of weird to be at this age and see fashion cycle.
Yeah.
From when was in my high school years. And my high school raver self would have had a fever dream with these shoes. Like, they are platform. They are prism. They are strappy. They look like something out of, like, a dance, like, DDR game sort of thing from the early 2000s. I love them. But they're Anthony Wang's. And I buy those. I buy Crocs. I actually did. My big purchase at Disneyland was the limited edition Disneyland Park Crocs for the Haunted Mansion. They are absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
They are bright. They're ridiculous. I love them. I wear them all the time. I'm guilty of buying the matching lounge fly bag.
Right.
Yeah. I guess you're right. Designer in a different way, but I guess you can sort of pander to your crowd based on what designs you wear, right?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's totally true.
Yeah, like for LitFest, because I'm running out of outfits to wear, I recently purchased from that independent company, Jessica K.
Yeah.
And they make me chortle a little because I literally look like a flower girl from the early 90s.
Yes.
Very big puffy sleeves and pastels and lace and the coquette fashion and the cottage core.
Yeah.
Kind of vibe. It's that.
Yeah.
And I'm buying them as a grown adult to wear to a very serious event. It's so silly.
No, that's fine. Silly me, I actually did research on the history of the tie.
Oh.
Yeah. Because, you know, I was trying to figure out, like, how to wear fashion. Sorry. Puppies. I was just trying to understand style and what I can, you know, get away with and such. And it was interesting to find out that the tie is actually the working man's fashion.
Huh.
Yeah. It all began with, military people having the hardest time keeping the collar closed during a fight. Or during a march,
during a fight.
March, sorry. So they went ahead and created the bolo, and soon they created a tie.
Huh.
And when people were, were done with the war, going back into civil society, guys still wanted to wear the tie. And it just got fatter and fatter, as time went on. Until, the 90s, where we had, those really, really fat ties. If you remember those.
Oh, I remember very specifically, the Looney Tune weird prints.
Yeah.
Like, very loud.
But,
yeah.
Literally, you have fatter ties because people were gaining weight. And it actually complemented their lapels.
Oh.
Yeah, there's an actual design to this.
But are you writing an article about this?
I wish I could, maybe.
Probably should.
Okay. Well, either way. Bow ties, on the other hand, have always been associated with the rich. Ironically, it began on their shoes. And on their hair.
I wonder if that's why it's kind of associated with, nerdy. Because it's scholarly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, literally, when you see somebody wear a bow tie, it is actually for the intellectual. Because the intellectuals are usually rich kids. Usually. But, obviously, social deviations occur. And it's just a thing. It's just a thing. So, anyways, beyond that, I guess what I was trying to get at was just trying to be creative is tough, and trying to get back into writing was so cringy.
Really?
Really?
That's so funny, because like I mentioned earlier in this this episode was, it was such, I was fighting myself trying to create those designs. Because it's that push of doing something different.
Yeah.
And trying to find relevancy. Like, there was so many times where I just wanted to give up. I thought I was being stupid.
Right.
And I just had to trust the process through.
I think that's part of the formula in creativity.
Mm-hmm.
There is a push and pull, which there's this frustration for perfection.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this thrive for improvement. And you can't really improve until you actually do something that's not normal.
Well, it's even harder when you haven't done it for so long because you remember it's almost like tunnel vision. Like, I remember when I was this kind of greatness or this kind of, like, you remember how it made you feel.
Yes.
But while I was making those new labels and designs, I was fighting myself.
Right. I totally understand.
Is it the desire for perfection, you think?
It's definitely that. I mean, perfection requires routine, normalcy, and just something that you understand.
I feel like it might also be just this, you kind of have tunnel vision at that point. You remember how good you felt when you were in that creative process.
Yeah.
So you're blindsided by this general understanding of you were better back then.
Yes.
Which is funny because when I was done with it, I felt like it was one of my better works. Like, I had definitely improved over the years.
Right.
But it was the process of.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I'm pretty sure, you know, when writing, when creating, it's, you're always going to compare.
Yeah.
And the disappointment is very easy. And I feel like that's what everyone knows. So obviously you can relate better with people through the disappointment. But when you have to actually succeed, that's where you're alone.
Right.
Because when others succeed, their success was not something that you could mimic. And you're going to go through something that no one might have not experienced themselves.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I'm pretty sure we've all done it, you know? Like, we've finished an assignment, we've completed a task, even cleaning an entire kitchen. We've done it once.
Yeah.
But the process wasn't always the same.
Right. And I think until you learn what works for you at that very moment in, like, I guess, experience-wise.
Right.
It's building what works for you now, not what worked for you before.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I guess, yeah, keep creating.
Keep creating. That's the hard part.
Yeah.
Starting is the easy step. So, I guess next episode, if it were up to you, where would you want to be?
Well, if we were at Zelly's or E&E, I think I would want to be, ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, right?
Well, with spring coming around, I know what's been on my mind a lot lately is when we used to visit the cherry blossom festivals in Pasadena.
Oh, that was fun.
And all the small businesses would come up and have booths, and they would have taiko drummers and Japanese desserts. But also just, it was a community thing. I mean, they had, like, burritos and taco trucks and all sorts of things. But I do miss that, which is so funny because, I mean, I go to farmers markets every week, and that's sort of the same vibe. But I guess it hits different when you're a participant.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to go back to Chinatown and get some dim sum at Wong Kok.
Oh, God, there's always lines now ever since they blew up on Instagram. But I remember when they were a hole in the wall.
Yeah, like people looked at us funny for going there before.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you must be Filipino.
Oh, I've closed. Only
Filipinos go there.
I have closed so many deals at 1 a.m. at Wong Kok.
Oh,
that like, place. I have signed contracts at that place.
Yeah, the food wasn't great, but the dim sum. Yeah.
Where are you going to get a pot of hot tea at 1 in the morning? In downtown LA.
I could name about five places prior to COVID.
Oh, I was about to say, oh, really? Yeah. I'd love to see you take the challenge.
Right?
Please tell me.
God.
No, but that's where you can get affordable, like, basically tea pastries and a pot of hot tea at 1 in the morning in downtown LA.
I'm just sad that literally everybody is old now. Like, the original staff, they're all just old.
Yeah, you can tell they're getting a little up there.
And no one wants to work there. They'd rather start their own restaurant.
So. Right. Well, but it's not shiny.
Exactly. Exactly. So. But either way, I would have loved to go there. So, I guess till next time, I'll catch you wherever.
Yeah, we'll catch you soon.
At Author's Cafe.